Welcome to Federal Insights on Application Services. Ramp up software delivery velocity. Sponsored by General Dynamics Information Technology. On Federal News Network.
With billions of paper records, millions of transactions yearly, and dozens of stovepiped applications, U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services has a major job on its hands to reduce paperwork, improve service to benefit seekers, and become more efficient. It's made some progress. I'm Tom Temin. I discussed this all with Shane Barney, the agency's chief information security officer.
The notion of reducing our reliance on paper has been around for a while. And it's been a goal, a dream, a desire for a considerable amount of time. Clearly, paper offers us tremendous amounts of just logistics and issues related to logistics. We're storing, warehousing, making sure the paper doesn't degrade, all those sorts of things. So clearly, the move towards electronic forms is a desire that's been there. We have attempted it in various forms and fashions, meeting with moderate success most times, but still just couldn't quite achieve an agency-wide approach. The real drive the ability to meet that nature or to meet the new goals and to really realize that dream really came about with, we really had to wait for the technologies to catch up, because immigration is a very large, very complex operation. It's not very gray. It's very gray. And so because of that, we had to approach it from a perspective as well. We have all these systems, and each of these systems, they're siloed. They're very specific to either a form or a set of forms, and they vary in terms of the technologies, the complexities. They're not going to talk to one another very easily. And it wasn't. And the thinking at the time was, hey, waterfall approach. We will simply take on the world, try to build a big, massive system to take it all over. And that was where things got a little sticky and challenging, because of the nature of how large it is, how complex it is. To take on that much at once was just not something that was doable. So the secondary approach came about. And this was really started, probably 4 or 5 years ago, maybe, when we started adopting cloud. We began to move into more an agile framework in terms of our development processes. We embraced DevOps and eventually DevSecOps. And those qualities begin to manifest themselves, and the ability to do these sorts of things. Because now, instead of taking on the entire elephant, we're going to take it on little chunks at a time. That was the initial stage. And then came along the concept was, well, what about if we stopped worrying about building our monster system, and instead we worried about integrating all of our current systems? Now, that in and of itself poses some interesting challenges, but the approach is I wouldn't say it's unique, but it's definitely a novel way to go about it. And so we created what we call e-processing. Now, e-processing, in terms of its goals, is quite simply just move away from paper. That's really the objective. And frankly, it's going to work. This is the first time I've seen where I can actually say, yes, we're seeing the progress. We're seeing our goals being met. The strategy is solid. And so really, what are we talking about? The first big challenge with e-processing, there's a lot of challenges, but really the biggest one is it amounts to data. In other words, how are we going to have all these different systems, all these different technologies talk to one another?
Let me interrupt just for a question. You mentioned e-processing with data, mm-hmm. but yet many of the processes are paper-based. So where does the paper convert to data under the old way of doing things?
Well, e-processing isn't about digitization. That is really critical. The notion to we've always wanted to digitize, and we do have a process for doing digitization, but really complex. It's very challenging to do. Everyone thinks of you. They refer to the word the A file, an alien record file, which is something that's generated when someone seeks a benefit with USCIS. A benefit could be, I want to come to work in the United States for a set period of time. It could be they're here for a student visa. There's a number of benefits. So those benefits then generate an A file. Now, an A file is a file, and it contains all the information, all the evidence that was related to this benefit and the granting thereof, or not granting thereof. And that A file, though, doesn't stay just nice little small vanilla file with 4 or 5 pieces of paper in it. A single file can be a single file, or it can be 10 banker boxes, and everything in between. Currently we, on active records, I don't know what the exact numbers is, but it's you're in the hundreds of millions in terms of just people who've come in contact with USCIS in just the last 12 years alone.
So the many, many dozens of visa programs, for example, each have their own process and they each generate, and could someone be in there twice under the same, under two different visa systems?
Not necessarily more than one file. We do a very good job of actually consolidating those files. We have for quite some time. I wouldn't say it's, you know, obviously not perfect, but we do a good job of it. We've been doing this for a very, very long time. And frankly, because of the experience that we have, we've done a decent job of keeping those records concise. Now, that said, someone who applied to a benefit 60 years ago and then comes back and applies for another benefit today, would we necessarily catch it? Maybe, maybe not. You know, there's some challenges there.
Sure.
But overall, we do a pretty decent job of it.
So e-processing versus digitization then means what?
Digitization is really taking a paper file and converting it into something digital. That's something separate. E-processing isn't about that. E-processing is taking all of our current immigration processes that are paper-based and making them a digital process, meaning it's an online process. It's not taking current forms, per se, meaning the paper forms that we currently use.
Okay, so there's lots of applications, though, because each of the, whether it's a form of a piece of paper or it's an online type of interaction, still represents a stovepiped process.
I would actually say no. Part of our solution in that first challenge was defining out those data elements. Because no matter what you're applying for, there are common elements of data that we need.
Like your name.
Birthplace, citizenship, things like that, relationships. Those elements are not unique to a specific form in most cases.
So at some point, though, it branches off into a decision process that is unique for each of the different types of visas.
I wouldn't refer to it as visas. There would be benefits. So each of the benefits right. But visas are something slightly different.
That's just one form of benefit.
No, visas are handled by state, so it's a little bit different. Visas are what grant you entry into the country for one reason or another. We don't
Green cards. That's a USCIS thing.
Yes, and that is a benefit. A work card, a green card, although that's not the proper term, it's legal permanent resident, green cards is a very historic term when they actually used to be green. But the process, a legal permanent resident is granted the authorization to be a permanent resident of the United States for a set period of time, usually 10 years, and that's a benefit. We grant that, and that's adjudicated. So that would be one benefit that would be caught up in this e-processing thing. Now, we've already done this. This is not our first go at this. So Ellis has already done this for citizenship. So if you apply to citizenship, it used to fill out a form, an N-400, or variations thereon. There's four or five different forms. And those paper forms, you'd fill them out, send them in, and you would wait the appropriate time. Well, then we built Ellis. Now, Ellis did just this. So really, you can sort of look at Ellis as a testbed for this process, although at the time we didn't realize it was a testbed. We kind of look at it now and realize all the lessons learned from Ellis can be taken from that.
Shane Barney is Chief Information Security Officer at U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services. After this short break, Barney discusses more about the evolution of Ellis. I'm Tom Temin.
General Dynamics Information Technology and CSRA are now one company offering next-generation solutions across the government. We support the warfighter, the intelligence community, the research scientist, and our citizens. Partnering with our government customers, we're delivering advanced cloud, cybersecurity, managed services, and enterprise IT solutions to transform government today. With General Dynamics Information Technology, Next is here. Discover more at GDIT.com.
Welcome back to our interview with Shane Barney, Chief Information Security Officer at U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services. In this segment, Barney describes the evolution of its flagship Ellis application. So Ellis is a rough model for the e-processing.
It's a really good model because it did a lot of what we did, but on a much, much smaller scale. There's other things that we have to expand upon because Ellis didn't have certain aspects of the enterprise approach that we needed. And so we created a series of domains, you could call them. These domains are common to all aspects of immigration. So you're going to have things like intake. Obviously, we got to be able to take in your information. What does that look like? You're going to have account management. Everybody who has to do this online is going to have an account. You're going to have to manage that account. Your account management, you're going to have to be able to manage those accounts. You're going to have to be able to, create them, make sure the same person, do verification of identity, those sorts of things. And you're also going to have things like risk and fraud. And how do we ensure that you're not, trying to defraud the federal government by seeking a benefit that is not lawfully yours? So there are a series of these domains that we're going to, that we've created, and those span all aspects of integration. And those are our, that's how we collect all those data elements, and we built them into a JSON format. So JSON is just a very common, very easy to translate or and translate as well as receive on both sides in terms of the system. So the systems can, all of our systems can in some way or form or fashion ingest JSON.
And where do the microservices come into this whole picture? Because so many of the processes do have a lot in common, like you say, intake or file transfer or whatever it might be.
So really the key to success here for e-processing, and I think where we've really, where I think we've, that we've really figured this out. So LS was a system that we built. The difference really here with...
And how did you build it, by the way? What was the methodology and the language?
Well, originally it was sort of... I'm not going to call it a waterfall approach. We took a modified waterfall approach at first. And it wasn't... It was challenging. Then we stepped back, and that's about the same time Mark Schwartz joined the agency as our CIO. And when Mark came along, he was able to bring in this agile approach to development. And that really revolutionized. And LS has been doing agile development for quite a while. And they're very, 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 very successful at it. So, you know, that has been a very good model and sort of a way for us to, you know, lessons learned coming out of that, that we can now apply at a much larger enterprise approach.
So each of the domains that you mentioned has its own need for applications and processes that are expressed as applications. And somehow when you develop under those domains, there's also an enterprise picture that's behind all of that.
So really the core here, the real key here is not so much that we're developing new applications, that we're linking our current ones together.
Some of them are already electronic.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, we have a lot of electronic records that are running around, but they're, like I said earlier, they're stovepipe. They don't talk to one another necessarily, or if they do it in not a very efficient way. What the goal of e-processing is to do is to link them all together, but do it in a very efficient, clean manner so that we can still continue to modernize in the background without affecting the front end. So from a person coming into to USCIS to apply for benefit or provide information to USCIS for on the behalf of a benefactor, you are going to you'll have a single pane of glass to look through. You know, you're not going to have to worry about whether you're filling out the correct form, because it's going to prompt you for the correct form. You know, it's going to tell you, oh, I need this information because you are applying for this. Oh, you are applying for a benefit on behalf of your son, daughter, cousin, aunt, uncle. You need to provide me now this information. So these workflows will develop and guide a user along, which is really key here, because anybody who's ever had to go through those paper processes knows that there's a lot of decision points that have to be made, that we do a lot of really great work in terms of providing that information out, but it's still a challenge. Now you simply can't even submit it without all the information in it. So it's going to really benefit those seeking immigration benefits into the United States, because now those mistakes we hope to limit to a very large degree, almost eliminate.
Sure. So getting back to the idea of then data exchange in the background, how are you doing all of that?
That's all
efficiently.
That's all being done by microservices. And really what it really boils down to, not so much microservices are a piece of that, but the other part of this is really APIs. You know, application programming interfaces.
On top of the data sets that are all over the place in all different formats.
So we'll create those APIs. Those APIs become our gateways, and they actually will do a lot of that data exchange. Now, of course, we're going to have to develop new systems in some cases, because we don't have certain things in place to handle certain aspects of what we're talking about. But actually it's surprisingly small in terms of what we're really, because a lot of the stuff is there. It's just creating that link, creating that interfaces between all those different systems, so that from a front-end perspective, they don't even know that they're applying for an N-400 or they're submitting their I-90. They'll just be submitting the information that's being requested. We're trying to, you know...
Based on the function or the benefit that they seek.
Correct. So really, we're trying to drive it from... Really, what this is about is trying to drive it from a data... It's becoming more data-centric. In other words, what information do we need in order to properly and legally adjudicate this benefit? And we look at it from that perspective. Honestly, whether we call it a form, what kind of form we call it, it's sort of irrelevant. I wouldn't say we're going to get completely away from forms. Like you said earlier, they are defined in law. So that would require legal changes and a lot of other things. But that doesn't necessarily mean that that the person applying has to know the name or has to know that this is an N-400 A, B, C, D, you know, insert whatever form type you'd like. And really, that's it. That, to me, is really, really important. Because understanding how complex that system is and how complicated it can sometimes be, and frankly overwhelming for some, This was really aimed at simplifying that. This is really sort of taking a very, you know, a very complex process and boiling it down to a series of data prompts that will guide somebody through that process.
So how does it work day to day in the development shop? I mean, how do you decide this needs an API, that needs some kind of a protocol, and who does the work, and how do you organize all of this?
So the real interesting thing about e-processing, some people say, well, is this another transformation program? And when I use the word transformation in the government space, you'll sometimes hear people say big T, little T transformation. Big T transformation is a program. Programs have guidelines and legal frameworks that have to be enabled, and they have all these, kind of loops and hops that they have to do in order to maintain that program in terms for accountability purposes and auditing and other things. E-processing is really not that. It is a really small T kind of transportation, or a small T approach to this problem. Because what it's doing is it's not recreating the entire process, it's just linking it together. So those decision points, well, they're made by people who are really smart, frankly. I mean, that's the best way I can say it, who are really engaged with the business end, the people who are doing this work, whether they're, whether they're refugee officers, whether asylum officers, some of our immigration officers, these people who are hands-on working with the current paper process to help us translate that into workflows electronically.
So to put it really in a elementary way, so those people might know that when this decision comes in or this piece of data comes in, we have to have this other piece of data to make a decision. Right now we're going to a cave somewhere, and then 3 days later, if we're lucky, getting a paper file out of it with that information. Or we know that it's in another database and we have to somehow join these systems manually. That connection point is where they would say, this is where we need an API and some kind of a data exchange protocol.
So the business may not make that call, but that would be some kind of a call we would make. And it could be, because we need information that may be currently, say, in claims, which is one of our older mainframe systems, that has to get information from say, Claims 4, which is Claims 4, we've more or less gotten rid of, say, from Ellis. And so those two systems currently do not talk well. They do talk. There are some communications there. But really what we're talking here now is we're pulling that information into a single sort of flow of information for the immigration officer. So when the immigration officer gets to that point, you're absolutely correct. All the information will be present because the system won't allow it to go forward without that. In the past, that's not always been the case. Or, as you've pointed out, I've literally sat with immigration officers in the field and watched them have 4, 5, 6, 10 different screens open with all these different systems running in the background so that they can do their jobs. We'd really need to get away from that. That's not efficient. It's very challenging for them to do. I have to give them all the compliments in the world. They're amazing at it. I've watched a lot of adjudication just over the years I've been with CIS, and frankly, it's a very complicated process that they make look easy.
Shane Barney is Chief Information Security Officer at U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services. After this short break, Barney discusses how the application work also needs a data strategy. I'm Tom Temin.
General Dynamics Information Technology and CSRA are now one company offering next-generation solutions across the government. We support the warfighter, the intelligence community, the research scientist, and our citizens. Partnering with our government customers, we're delivering advanced cloud, cybersecurity, managed services, and enterprise IT solutions to transform government today. With General Dynamics Information Technology, Next is here. Discover more at GDIT.com.
Welcome back to my interview with Shane Barney, Chief Information Security Officer at U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services. In this segment, Barney discusses the agency's data strategy as it integrates applications. So at the heart of this, then, is the notion of separating the data from the application it might be connected with directly, so that that data can be used by all the applications that might need it.
Or exchanged. I would use the word exchange more than disconnect. We're talking about connecting. We're exchanging the data in a better way, better format, in a more complete way than we've ever done before.
And what's the technology platform for all of this? And is it all done by contractors? Do you have programmers in-house developing the APIs?
Because this isn't a program, like other transformation efforts have been in the federal space, we weren't seeking. Usually, when you have a transformation-like program, you seek separate funding strings. They actually have their own funding project codes. I mean, it's a very, very regimented, very
It's the federal government.
I didn't say it that way, but yes, there are certain aspects that the federal government's extremely good at doing, and we're very good at making regulations for ourselves. So, but you know, what we did here, though, is a little bit different because we're not really looking to reinvent the wheel. And in fact, we want to use the wheel. We want to take the wheel that we have, and we just want to make it better. And matter of fact, not only do we want to make it better, we want to make it so that the people don't even realize the wheel is there. There are, you know, the people who are coming into USCIS and seeking immigration benefits for the United States, we want them to not even realize that will exist. They just are going to provide the information that's being requested. They're going to be able to upload documents into the system and in digital formats, and then it goes in, and they'll have statuses instead of weeks and months and days, maybe hours in some cases, because we can then rely on that exchange of information between systems, not just ours, by the way. It could be other agencies, other information that we rely on from various federal partners. That information, those will come into play as well. Well, now we can really begin to make efficient, effective decisions very quickly because we'll have all that information in front of us. Because now you won't receive – a big part of what we do now is like a pre-audit of the paper records that we receive. They'll look through it. They'll say, oh, yeah, whoops, you did not submit the correct form. You really needed this form, not that form. Or you did you submit the right form, but you didn't include all the evidence. You forgot a copy of your birth certificate or something. And then it goes back, and you start up the process all over again. Or at least to get put back in the queue. So that we're trying to end. I mean, from a simple customer perspective, our customers being, you know, the people seeking immigration benefits, that in and of itself will be a showstopper. I mean, an amazing kind of event for them to be able to go in and actually see in almost real time everything that's going on for them.
And what are your deliverables? How do you measure this ongoing effort?
Well, we also
program with a small p.
Yes, very small p. The deliverables are really just, you know, forms. I mean, we really are going form by form. You kind of have to. I mean, that's the way it's set up now. We sort of have to deal with that. And we have to recognize that some forms may have some variations. You know, if you're applying for one benefit, you know, yeah, you're going to have all those same kind of common frame dealings, but there might be something unique about one form versus another. And we need to take that into account.
So in a sense, you're really abstracting the forms for the applicant.
In a sense. I would say that's probably a good way to state it. Just because, you know, and we have to. Because like you said, these forms sometimes are legally defined. In other words, we have to capture certain data elements in order to grant that benefit. We need to make sure that we're capturing those in those workflows and how we diagram those out. So the decision points really are kind of already set for us. We just figure out more efficient ways to do it. And the other part to this is we're reducing, you know, once it's like anything, once you do it once, coming back is going to be a lot better because we've already captured all that information. It's going to start auto-populating it for you. But really, we need to stop talking about forms and move towards this data-centric approach where we're just worried about the data. What do we need to know in order to properly, legally adjudicate that case?
But there's no definitive endpoint to all of this, is there?
There isn't. E-processing is not an endpoint. You know, we have a goal of getting the agency to almost entirely a digital process by December of 2020. That's pretty aggressive. I think we'll make it, but we're not going to stop there because all we've really done at that point is linked all of our current systems together. Well, you know, we have old systems in some cases. We need to update those. The beauty of e-processing, this is going to allow us to work on those in the background without people on the front end knowing what we're even doing. From their perspective, it'll stay the same.
That's Shane Barney, Chief Information Security Officer at U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services. Thanks for listening. To hear the interview in its entirety, visit federalnewsnetwork.com and search Federal Insights. I'm Tom Temin.
Thank you for listening to Federal Insights on Application Services, Ramp Up Software Delivery Velocity. Sponsored by General Dynamics Information Technology. The program is available on demand at federalnewsnetwork.com. Search GDIT.